Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Right now, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Really appreciate that. And again, we will have some more human questions coming up in this segment as well.
Because you're human?
Because I'm a human.
Nice.
From Earth. What was that? I remember that was hilarious. I need to
find
that.
It was an article written by somebody named Hugh Mann about, like, don't worry about what's happening on Mars.
But the question for you is, have you ever had a visitation dream, or do I just have The Shining? We'll get to that in just a moment. Before, though, I saw this yesterday from the fan text, and I was like, huh? And I just, you know, went to look it up and everything. Bubba Thompson, or the Rangers' former outfielder, is enrolling at the University of South Alabama, and he's joining the Jaguars football team as a walk-on, not the Jacksonville Jags.
No.
He's not officially announced his retirement from baseball, but he did post on social media himself throwing a football inside a South Alabama facility and said, "We back, y'all."
Yeah.
Am I stupid here? Was he Jalen Tolbert's high school quarterback?
Yes. Stevenson notes. It was Craig Stevenson of AL.com that he was teammates with South Alabama receiver Jalen Tolbert, who's been with the Cowboys. He passed on a baseball commitment to the University of Alabama to sign with the Rangers as a first-round pick in 2017 and made about $2 million. So,
good for him. He just couldn't. He could steal bases.
Yeah.
He just, at the plate, just couldn't figure. It's tough.
It's a tough game.
He just couldn't figure out how to get on base.
Frequently. I mean, like, it is a very difficult game. And when you have that type of, Mike has always said, have your kids play multiple sports. Look at why. Here's why. You see Baker Mayfield slide the other day, and he slid with his stomach first. And I was like, how did he even do that?
Yeah.
Like, that makes no sense. And every time I watch quarterback slide, all I think to myself is, if they'd have just played some baseball as a kid, they would know how to slide feet first, because you practice it, and it makes sense. It doesn't, I guess, Mike, for me, because I played baseball as a kid and always grew up doing it, even in soccer, I knew how to slide tackle. So it always just, it felt natural. I don't understand how these dudes don't, it's not natural to them. It doesn't make sense to me.
I couldn't figure out, I know it's an early age, but I could not dive head. I could dive head first back into first, but going like trying to steal second or sliding into second or third, I couldn't slide head first forever.
Your mind just wouldn't tell you.
I just wouldn't put my belly on the ground. It was just like I would protect myself, and for some reason I wouldn't lay out. And so it just looks stupid. But I finally, like, you know, you just do it in baseball practice, like do it over and over. Yes, you can slide feet first. We're going to figure out how to dive head first. And I don't know, like 11 years old, that sounds like a long time, but you're playing for like 4 or 5 years of baseball and you can't dive head first. But I figured it out. But Leody Taveras can't dive head first for like a ball in the outfield.
And there is nothing more fun, in my opinion, just having played lots of positions as a kid than the softball. Diving in the outfield and making a catch is the coolest thing.
And he's not the only one. I think Steve Buschel told me Ryan Sandberg, I want to say Hall of Famer, could not dive head first for like a ball to his left or right at second base. He couldn't do it.
And so R-Y-E-D.
There's other people, it's not just Leody. Like, there's people that are major league players that, this is not stealing bases, but diving for a ball head first with a glove can't do it.
Josh Hamilton, dude, just slide foot first. And he's like, no, I want to dislocate my foot shoulder first, every chance I get. That.
1 foot.
Yeah, 1 foot. I think this is interesting on perspective of relating to your players. Kevin, you really loved Mike Tomlin during the Hard Knocks episode,
yeah,
opening up his doors to the team,
yeah,
on Thanksgiving. Was it Thanksgiving?
Very Ted Lasso-esque.
He was like, look, if y'all don't have a place to stay, if y'all don't have a place to be, my door's open. Any of y'all can show up. You don't have to. It's not, you know, it's not mandated, but you can. This is Aaron Glenn on relationships with players.
Today's coaching, man, you have to be relatable. Right, the players have to be able to sit down and talk to you and have a conversation. Man, there are so many players I'll talk to this day. Say, man, I've never had a chance to just sit and talk with a coach. I've never had a chance to have interaction and confrontation with a coach. It's almost like I got to shut up. And I said, no, man, tell me exactly what your issues are, right? And we could talk about it. Man, me and Tracy Walker, Tracy came to my house right before training camp. Me and Tracy was sitting there just knocking tape out. And one day he was just like, just quiet. And I was like, what's wrong? He said, Coach, I've never, ever had a chance to go to a coach's house. You know, your wife over there cooking dinner, your daughter's running around, all right? And I'm sitting here watching tape. Man, I just, like, that just don't happen. And I was shocked, like, why?
Right.
Why can't it happen? Because you know what? As a player, man, I would love to sit down with my coach and let sit there and pick his brain and watch. And so, man, that's what I want to offer to all my players, right? Dude, this is coaches over here and players over, that's not what we are. Man, we right here, right? Because my job is to help you get better. That's my only job, right? My job is to create a winning environment for you, get you paid, right? Because everybody wins, mm-hmm, right? The organization wins and you win if all those things happen. So yeah, I'm gonna sit here and spend as much time as I can with you because that's my pleasure anyway, to sit here and watch tape with you and get you better.
That is Aaron Glenn on the Pivot podcast right there. Now, look, not every player is going to need that or want that or desire that. But when you, again, I've told you multiple times that in my conversations with him, he was just very thoughtful. That right there kind of expressed what I got whenever I was able to interview him and talk with him. That's the kind of person that I think you're getting. Whenever he started as the defensive coordinator with the Lions, like their secondary was just getting ripped. And I was like, dude, you were a cornerback. Like, you were literally a cornerback. Why yeah. are y'all not? You're good at these things, but y'all are bad at something you played your whole career. And then he was like, the Lions said, well, let's get him some talent. And look what happened this year. You know, he got the talent.
Things changed.
And he has put together the scheme, but he also did the thing. He was like, why am I not good? Who do I need to talk to find out how to get better at this? And so he went out and he did those things. So that's just, again, not every player is going to need something like that. But when you have a coach, we have a manager that's invited us over to his house. It's
sure.
pretty cool to be able to go watch a wrestling event
yeah.
and see those things and be out of the office just a little bit and see how they respond. And get to know somebody on that kind of a level, I really think, it does build a bond that makes you want to fight harder for them. It builds a bond that makes you want to be better for them. And that's the accountability factor of it. And you hear Michael Irvin talk about those things. They were accountable to each other because of the way Jimmy put them in that pile together and was like, y'all have to be. So I really like that. I don't think he's a leading candidate by any means. And I don't know if he will get an interview. You know, I don't know.
I would enjoy that, though.
But I like him a lot, and I'm interested to see when the Cowboys start this process, why they, you know, the type of people they want, the type of people they want to be at the helm of this organization, and what kind of coaches they are and how they connect with their players. Because I personally think Jason Witten comes in here, we got a 2 to 3 year window of bad. And next year might be a bad situation anyway. If you heard Mike on his podcast
yeah,
last night.
We'll get to that in a minute.
He was kind of in that window of, look, man, we might have a minute because we have to relearn defenses. We have to relearn some things. So that's just a part of the conversation I heard from Aaron Glenn that I really liked on the Pivot podcast. Now, the question of the day. Sorry, Alec. Oh, I didn't mean to steal that from you.
Trademark.
But the question I have, though, is have you ever had a visitation dream? Now, here's... Or do I just have The Shining?
Do you mean like from a dead person?
From a dead person. Last night, I had a dream that I was in...
Famous speech that starts off this way.
Yes. I was in... Carlsbad with two of my cousins and my grandfather. My grandfather's still alive, but I was driving with him and we pulled up to a movie theater and everybody in my family was there. And my grandmother and my mom came out and I introduced my grandfather to my grandmother. And they stared at each other in my dream like they had just met for the first time and they met their soulmate. Like that's what, and when I turned around to walk off in my dream, they were still staring at each other. And then my cousin did a flip off of a cliff into a parking lot, and then I woke up. So that's, you know, that's how I know it was still a dream, but that's the kind of stuff he would do.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Hey, football fans, for those of you who can't get enough Baldy's breakdowns, be sure to subscribe to Brian Baldinger's The Best Football Show. New episodes drop Monday through Friday where Baldy breaks down the best games of the week. Be sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
But it was as if my, you know, my grandmother is waiting patiently for my grandfather to pass so they can go together. And that's kind of what I got from it. Years ago, my other grandmother passed away, and about 3 months afterwards, I was having a dream about her in an ocean, and she just turned to me and said, "You married a good one," and walked off into the ocean, and that was her visit to me to say everything's going to be fine. That morning, Adrian had the same dream. Adrian woke up and started telling me about her dream first. And also, okay, during COVID, my uncle passed away, and... he rode up on his motorcycle and told me to tell my mom everything was going to be okay. So I've always like, I don't know if other people have these types of dreams. And if that, like, have y'all ever had one of those where somebody's passed and you connected with them and you felt like it was a little bit different than just a regular dream?
Yes. Now I was young, but, when my grandfather, I'll say my grandparents, there are multiple times when my grandparents died that I would, in that kind of, let's say, 1 month to 3 month span after their death, that I would have dreams where it felt like they were really, like I was really with them again. But I don't know what that means. Now, you're an adult.
Yeah.
I have not recalled recently as an adult having any dreams where it really felt like I was with a family member who has passed.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but I don't know. I don't know that I'm sure that we can look on the internet and you have to go like, do I trust this source that's telling me why am I having these dreams or what do these dreams mean? And Maybe it's just personal to you that you have to try to figure out why am I having these dreams and what do they mean?
And that is kind of how I do look at them a certain way. Maybe it is just for me to personally have that kind of emotion. But, and the thing was my sister texted my sister this morning and I texted her that whole little story and she was like, didn't their first date was at that movie theater in Carlsbad? And I was just like, oh crap. So like, again, in my mind, that's what I'm thinking. So, and I see some people saying, well, it sounds like Corey is Jesus.
That is not what I took from that story.
It must follow Billy Carson.
The 817. Yes, I've had these types of dreams. Do you mean The Shining? You want to get sued?
No, The Shinning.
Oh, The Shinning.
That's what Groundskeeper Willie says the Bart Simpson show. He goes, "You mean the Shinning? You don't want to get sued, do you?"
Stephen King wouldn't let him say The Shining. Is that what was going on?
He's a jerk.
From the 214, Corey going to sleep on acid. From the 469, it's the planetary alignment, Corey. Special things happening again. This is my little niece. She looked up at the moon and she goes, "Oh, I get it now. Grandma's on the moon." And I was like, I love the creativity because like I love knowing that her brain's working in that way because that's just her trying to figure out little things as she goes along. And that's the way that I like hearing and seeing that.
So see,
you're a very realistic person.
Yeah.
Very grounded.
But so I'm really intrigued by this. I've never experienced anything like this, but I think I want to because it just feels like, look, Mike, we've talked about it. Like I have the same sets of thoughts and beliefs as you do about God and everything like that. And it just feels like that's a moment where like you're getting a hand, you know, and they're like, hey, here's some advice from somebody who understands the bigger picture far better than you ever could hope to imagine in this form. And so like, I think that would be really cool. I've just personally never experienced anything like that, but I would definitely be open to it.
My mom just texted me and said, it's called intuition. Actually, I think she typed institution, but she meant intuition.
Oh, you should go to an institution.
She correct. Yeah. No, she didn't go to an
institution.
Because
those are very two different options. Either she thinks you're intuitive or we need to get the white jacket wrapped around you right now.
But my sister said the same thing. She said that she's had dreams leading up to my grandmother passing of my grandmother telling her that it's going to be okay. So maybe that's just our emotions, our minds telling us things. I'm fascinated by the dream world sometimes, but because I want to know, like, is there another world that exists on another plane? I'm always interested in that like kind of concept, but that was just something that happened last night, and it does seem like there are a lot of people that have had that kind of situation before. So I appreciate seeing that I'm not the only one, and I'm not going crazy.
I do really think it's cool because that's something that comes up on this show quite a bit when you like share an experience that you might think is like fringy or whatever.
Yeah.
And then you have all these
like
people.
Your OCD talk yesterday.
Yes. And then you have all these people that are like, oh my God, that speaks to me. That speaks to me. Cause like, you never know who's listening that might be like, dude, I kind of needed to hear that today.
Do you have to say the F word four times?
No.
Like a day? Like you've done it
that
once.
That is a fair callback to yesterday.
I didn't know.
When I said I needed to do four things four times. And go back and check on the show earlier. All right. There was a moment where
from the 254 Corey, it's not your grandma. It's a demon. Don't trust that person in your dreams. It wants to harm you and bring you bad energy. And that is now I'm scared. Now I can't sleep anymore. Thanks a lot. I'm not going to be able to go to sleep tonight because I'm going to be afraid of demons.
I can sing you a song that might help.
Go to sleep.
One, two.
Okay.
Fred
all right.
Coming for.
No? Stop that. Okay. What are you doing right now?
Not that.
You know Freddy's the scariest thing to me.
I thought you were going to bring back the 2010 Texas Ranger song.
How does that go?
One, two, three. Look at Mr. Lee. You know, because we traded for Cliff Lee.
That's underwhelming.
I thought he was talking about Lee Stevens.
I'm not going to lie. I was really expecting more production.
Well, you started a 1-2. I thought you were going to do that song. That's what I thought you were going to do.
I know exactly where we're heading.
I didn't do like the Whitney Houston thing yesterday.
Exactly. Coming up next, look, we ranked all the coaches of the Jerry era earlier. What I want to know is, where do you think the new one will fit in? So essentially, are you pessimistic, optimistic, indifferent, or something else altogether about this new coaching search? Let's do that next right here in The Fan.
And play action. Prescott back to throw. Deep to the right side. Lamb made a man miss and running down the sideline. And Lamb's on the horse. And Lamb's in the end zone. Touchdown, C.D. Lamb, 65 yards.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. So earlier in the show, we kind of went through Corey's list of the rankings 1-8 of the coaches that Jerry has hired in his era. Now we're about to get... Go ahead.
Somebody on Twitter, by the way, took the 105.3 The Fan Twitter account. They took the link and they gave grades to the ranking. So like... They gave Jimmy Johnson on a scale
like
of
that.
1 to 10, they gave him a 15. And,
okay, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
Parcells had an 8.5. And then there were a lot of sixes, and I felt like that was really accurate.
Yeah, because in the middle, there's a lot that I'm like, that's kind of the same.
Yeah.
So this is what came to my mind. Where is the next coach going to rank? Because, Mike, and I think you're in this boat, and maybe you rank it differently, but we don't know who the next coach is. We won't know I'm sure the Cowboys will take their sweet-ass time.
Can I ask you this real quick? Before or after the Super Bowl? That we'll know.
After.
Okay. And that's infuriating. You got to hire a staff. And you got to get started.
Yeah.
And we don't know. We don't. Just like you said, we don't know who the coach is. We don't know when they're going to hire this person.
So I was looking at the list that you pointed out is not particularly star-studded. And in my brain, I said, the new one is going to fit in at number 7 out of the 9. And so then that led me to thinking, are you optimistic, pessimistic, indifferent about this coaching search? And I realize that's not based on anything because we don't even know who the coach is. I think it's just based on, at this moment, I feel really defeated because, and I'm sorry, but Dak Prescott is injury prone. He's just starting his humongous contract, and you got to think he's going to be slowed by what just happened. You don't have a lot of cap space. You've given away a couple of fourth round draft picks for nothing, and you're going to have an owner that's going to get in the way of things you want to do. When I stacked all of those things together, I was like, I already feel like your coach is behind it before he even gets hired.
I agree with you, and I would say, based off of Corey, when you did your list, the coaches that got the most when they were hired, like, here it is, they're good. Barry Switzer and Wade Phillips, right?
Yep.
The people that came after Jimmy and Bill Parcells, your two, number one, number two on the who Jerry has hired as a coach list. Obviously, Tom Landry did not get hired by Jerry Jones. Is those guys had on a silver platter, this is really good.
Yeah.
Can you get this to the Super Bowl, right? You could maybe say Mike McCarthy is third. I don't know. On the list of getting handed a solid team, you could obviously argue Chan Gailey had a pretty good situation. Jason Garrett, it was okay. But I'm with you. It's not what Jimmy Johnson had to deal with coming into the worst team in football. I mean, Bill Parcells was coming into a team that deserved to be 5-11 all those years. He had no quarterback in Quincy Carter, but he figured out how to win 10 games, which is amazing to me. One of the best coaching jobs I've ever seen in Cowboys history, getting 10 wins out of that team. But this one, I feel like, Corey, they're going to be a 7-10 or 8-9 team. So I think it will be an unbelievable coaching job to get this team to 10 wins.
All right. Yeah, that would be an unbelievable job because I'm with you. I think whoever the coach is going to have struggles their first year. Just plain and simple.
Yeah.
They weren't great this year. Injuries were a problem. Got a quarterback that's going to be, you know, going through a rehab process. We have no clue what could happen there. Like, what? Here's a scenario. What if it happens again next year to him? Have they even considered that? Or they're like, nah, he'll be back. If anybody can come back from this, it's that guy. I don't think
they have.
And I want to make sure I implore this. I am not wishing that upon him.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, have you prepared for worst case scenario in a first year?
You have to, right?
You have to, especially when you're in not that, just at
for,
that point.
For anybody, you any have to, situation.
You have to, and that's one of the biggest failures is, you know, when you think you're going to be good, go ahead and go all in.
Yeah.
When you think, hey, things aren't going to be that great, maybe you just understand what the reality is of your team. And a lot of times I've had I don't know if it's because of the people talking to Jerry or just Jerry's lifetime of optimism, but it just doesn't feel like he ever really has a reality of what his team is. Hey, we're not good this year. That's a problem. He was still trying to push it that we are good. So I feel like initially, Kevin, they're going to have a bad standing and people are going to be unhappy with what they're doing. But I think they're going to have to sit back and say, well, we're giving them a year to develop and grow. Unless they get a name, and even if it's a Pete Carroll, I think he's going to have to walk in here and start going, I need to fill. They got 22 free agents.
Okay.
22 unrestricted free agents.
So let's continue with what you just brought up. I want to go with cut number 11 here, Alec. You made reference to this. It's a longer clip. It's like 3 minutes, and I kind of boiled it down to like, what I thought the most essential thing we were going to talk about here is, this is Micah Parsons reacting to McCarthy not coming back and what that's going to mean for the next team.
It's going to be very interesting off seasons. You know, it's going to be very interesting, you know, due to the free agents, the coaching. It's like, you know, it's going to be a complete reset. So it's going to be a very interesting and challenging off season. But listen, I already know, I trust my owner. I trust our GM. I trust Will McClay that we're going to make the right decisions.
So
complete reset,
which I know frequently comes along with a head coach, but it also seems like this ownership is not here for that. And they're going to expect, you know, you bounce back into the playoffs. I want to be clear.
And a fan base that probably expects that too.
Yes.
And I'm interested to know where the fan base stands on that right now.
I absolutely 100% think that the Cowboys could make the playoffs next year. I'm just not sure if that is the best route to build a team that I want to see after that. Like, I feel like the best route is you make some of those cuts, you absorb the salary cap hits in 1 year, you accept the fact that you're going to take a step back, get another better draft pick. I'm not saying lose on purpose. I'm saying it's going to inherently be tougher for you to win because of some of these steps that I take. And I think that gets you so much healthier financially and asset-wise for 2026. And you're not going to make the playoffs. But I think pushing to make the playoffs next year could end up being a very poor decision.
Yeah, I'm looking at a lot of different things when it comes to what this team could be next year, Kevin. And I want that pop from the coach, because Bill Parcells walks in and what happens that first year? They made the playoffs and you were like, how? And he said, smoke and mirrors. I'm a good coach.
Yeah.
And then they were never able to really build what he wanted to accomplish because, man, when the TO thing happened, I was standing there that day. Brad Sham asked him about it and Parcells sat there and sighed and then said, look, you can't question his practice. The guy goes to work every day and practices his butt off. And like you could tell at that point, he knew I've been outvoted by Jerry Jones. And yeah. I'm going to get outvoted by Jerry Jones. It's going to cause headaches for me, but I signed on to be a coach that coaches the players, and that's going to be the case. But maybe the expectation once Bill Parcells walked in and they went to the playoffs was they can do this all the time. Look, he can do this with anybody.
I fell into that trap. When they made the playoffs right away with the smoke and mirrors that you talked about, I think I did fall into the trap of, oh yeah, we were fine all along.
So I take plenty of shots at the Jones family. I think if you've been listening for a while, I take plenty of shots at them. Here's a compliment that's also a backhanded compliment. Is Jerry's too smart to be this dumb. So he's intentionally doing this.
Yeah.
He's intentionally making this harder than it has to be. I know he can be a winner. I saw him take a team that was 3-13 and 1-15, and I'm not giving him all the credit, but he was part of then in the fastest turnaround in NFL history at that point in the NFL, and you could argue still to win three Super Bowls, and you're still you were actually the last Super Bowl you were trying to screw it up, and you still won because it was is such a good. So for me, I look at this and go, he's intentionally being dumb because he's not dumb. He's really smart. Jerry Jones is really smart. So he knows what you're saying is the way the history of the NFL works in trying to get good again.
Then why?
Because he doesn't want to go through it. And
I agree.
He's like, I know it's the smart thing to do or a smarter thing to do. Gavin Dawson talks about it quite a bit on kind of all these things, and you can listen to other people talk about it too. But Jerry intentionally is going to do it this way because it keeps it somewhat relevant that if they can win 9 games next year, because if they were to go to a 5 or 6 win team and not intentionally go to 5 or 6 wins, but if you let go of certain contracts and you go to, hey, I believe in 2027, we can have $80 million in cap space and we have hopefully picked well through that time of struggling, that we could be sitting there with a team we really like. We have $80 million of cap space, or we have future first. We have more than just every year a first round pick. We have more than every year just a second round pick. We've actually done some things that we knew is going to hurt our now to possibly help our future. He'll never do it. Even though I think he's smart enough to know those are smart decisions, he's intentionally dumb to just get the most out of now.
I am kind of curious with teams that Kevin have been in the Cowboys situation, where they are financially and where they are with their roster and how they are doing and what they did to get out of it. And if there are other examples, because like Seattle had Russell Wilson and an aging roster, and then now they've done a couple things. They had to scale back a little bit on quarterback to be able to do it. Detroit.
Yeah.
Traded their quarterback away and just rebooted the whole thing, but they got a quarterback in return. There are a lot of other teams I think that have been in bad situations. It's your plan versus what other people are doing. Is your plan the right way, or is your plan just we're going to see it out?
And I'll tell you what, he's gotten so lucky, and I'll give him credit. To have Tony Romo and Dak Prescott from approximately 06 to 25 now.
Dak Prescott was like his fourth choice that year.
Like, they've gotten so lucky to not be, honestly, like the Washingtons for the most part, or like Chicago. And I get Chicago's made a Super Bowl with Rex Grossman. But, like, this, honestly, if you don't get so lucky with a undrafted quarterback and then a fourth round pick that nobody thought a lot of.
Yeah.
God, you are pretty much a 5-11-ish team for a decade or longer.
And the thing that annoys me is I agree with all of that. I agree with both of you guys about the intelligence for Jerry Jones. And then about, and it's not about Dak Prescott. It's about whatever quarterback you think is in the NFL that's good, but not really good enough to get the job done. That you should probably figure out a way to move and move on from that. And you've seen other teams do that. It's just there's nothing in the Jones constitution that makes me feel like they have the stomach for that. Even if they know in 3 years it could pay off huge, because they're like, or we could be good enough this year, next year, and the year after.
Because they're always constantly going, but this could be the year it could click.
Yeah, and that's
why that it all comes together.
And that's one thing I do kind of think they believe that annoys the crap out of me is when they talk about luck in the playoffs. Like, I do think luck is involved every now and again. And I know other people say it's when preparation meets opportunity. But the way they describe who wins the Super Bowl, it's like Corey is shooting dice in the back alley and they're like, well, looks like it's going to be the Lions this year.
By the way, it looks like Zion is out tonight as well as Lively, and Kyrie is doubtful with the lumbar back sprain. So
catch the fever for what is going to be a terrible game of basketball.
Enjoy the sun, everybody.
Yes.
Oh, I'm going to tell you, enjoy the sun the rest of this week. Have you seen next week?
I didn't look.
Oh,
I was looking for some positivity.
It's like a high of 37 for all of next week, and that's for one day. Like, there's highs in the 20s next week.
Wow.
So it's going to be some miserable. So if you do like the sun, go outside this week.
That's your public service address of the day.
From J-Met, luck is when you replace Kevin's favorite word with an L.
Mistakes were made by me today.
Are you embarrassed?
Yes, I am.
You're not supposed to answer it that way. You're supposed to jump down my throat.
I'm sorry. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, let's chit-chat with the fellas from the G-Bag Nation right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Goes low. Nice move. Score! Matt Duchene! A gorgeous move, beautiful hands in tight, and a power play goal doubles the lead.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105 Through the Fan, where the Dallas Stars were victorious over the Maple Leafs 4-1. They'll get back after it tomorrow against the Canadiens. The Mavericks are playing tonight, and most people are going to go ahead and skip the game. So catch that excitement, both for the Pelicans as well, just if you're curious. So if you want to see maybe not the best basketball in the world, have at it.
It's tough. Tell me Zion's not playing.
He is not.
It's tough. And Kyrie's out, and Derek Lively's out, and Luka's out. And you're just like, I get it. Hey, I think they all legitimately, maybe Zion, no, but our guys legitimately probably should be out. But I just can't watch. I love. I do want to put it in past tense. I do still really like NBA playoffs, but I struggle to tune into this because I just feel like it's just not, they're telling you we don't care about these 82 games. We care tremendously about the playoffs. We don't care about these 82 games. We just want to get into the playoffs and then we will try our hardest and give great effort. That's really tough as a consumer to be like, okay, I really want to watch tonight's game. I have no reason to tune in.
No, I get it. And let's bring in the rest of the G-Bag Nation right now for that courtesy of D&M Leasing. Gentlemen, how is you today?
Terrific, Hagee. How are you?
Aside from the one flub that I had earlier today, which you guys might hear in your show, I am doing fantastic.
Capital F flub.
Yeah. It's like a pitcher that gives up that one home run in the middle of the game. You know,
I felt like I pitched well. Otherwise,
else was really good. Except
did
that
all
one.
The time. Yeah. I know I might not pitch well all the time, but I always gave up the homer.
So the big news that we were talking about, and I think there's more to it. Just the way the Rangers are rolling this out is perplexing to me, because Evan Grant wrote in his story, this is the first step. There's going to be more to it. But they didn't really say that until this morning, when instead last night they were like, hey, we're going to be on what you thought was the free app, but we're also going to charge to be on what you previously thought of as that free app in Victory Plus. I understand the economics of baseball, and when people are like, hey, go sign Kirby Yates, and you're like, well, you know what? Subscribe for $100. I get all of that. It's just the way they've rolled this out has been very curious to me.
You know, I'm just so used to getting put through the ringer at this point that I just think it's par for the course. Like, I want to watch a movie. I don't know what app to bring up. I don't know what to do. I guess we got to Google it. I'm looking for a game. It's on a special app and network, and I'm just like, what the crap, you know?
You know, there was an app or a couple of websites that would really help you about where to find that movie, but now I found on a couple of them, they're like, that license expired at the end of the year. Sorry, it's January. It's somewhere else now. And you're like, dang it.
What?
I have 8 million apps. It's like, ridiculous. How does it not have the movie I want to watch?
I mean, at one point, we were like, this is going to be a better deal because now everybody has the ability to access it. Or before, if it was on Bally, maybe they couldn't access it. But we're not going to be able to watch this unless we put some type of streamer, like a Roku, like a Roku or something in here.
Yeah.
Like, if we're in the studio and there's a Ranger game on, right now, we don't have the ability to watch it. A Stars game, can't watch it because we don't have anything that can actually access the Victory Plus app. And that's kind of a bummer.
And then you get the price tag of $100 for season, which I don't think is crazy. I've heard a lot of people.
You think that's the final version of that, though?
Because I think there's going to be a monthly and like a micro game by game opportunity. That's just my guess. I don't know that to be the case. But people keep talking about, I just want to watch these things for free. And I think they're talking about a time that was like 25 years ago.
Yeah.
Not like 5 years ago.
I think you're in a situation they can't give it to you for free.
Yeah,
because there's a competitive situation with Major League Baseball with their streaming services and stuff like that. So as much as Victory would like to say everything is free, they can't give it to you free because it's against the rules of the broadcasting rights of Major League Baseball.
Yep.
So if that's the case, then Victory has to charge you something because they can't undercut what Major League Baseball has already negotiated. So yeah, that's your biggest problem.
I think paying for games is totally understandable, you know, with the amount of money that these TV rights are going for. Just make it simpler for me. You know, that's my only beef.
Yeah.
Like, can we just go back to having the $200 digital cable package that gets me everything?
Yes. You know,
can we do that?
And that's the thing. Because I know people are like, oh, these streamers are going to consolidate. And I was like, eventually you're going to get cable again, which is what we all decided.
That's what they're doing. They're trying to get around the people that have cut the cable is what they've done.
Yeah, you got the bundles, right? You got Hulu, you've got Disney Plus, you've got Max. Like, you can buy them all together.
Guess what that is? It's cable. Yep. It's just called something different. We all decided we didn't like it. We found a workaround. And then all of the people with all of the money were like, good for you. Here's what I'm going to do now.
Mm-hmm. They got the best of us on that.
Yeah. I just wish Victory Plus app is an imperfect app for this for me, just because if you're going to have to pay for it, I get it with the Stars. It's free. And I'm like, you know what?
There's no competition.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. But if you're going to pay $100, wouldn't you like it available on all your smart TVs? Or wouldn't you like to not have to go buy a Roku? So then you have the privilege of paying to watch a game. Like, that part is a hassle, I get.
Yeah.
You know, it's driving a lot of people more and more to pirating these days.
We got so many texts about that.
It's ethically and morally bankrupt. It's something I would never do.
Never.
I certainly understand people that
speak for yourself over there, bro.
And certainly not in another state. You would never do such a thing.
Never. Never. I would never use a VPN to mask, you know, the IP address.
I'm proud of you for that.
Thank you.
I know there's others that might. And then you watch a fight and it keeps buffering in the hotel lobby and you get all pissed off about it. But you
I think some of these things have gotten better. I think there's better technology to help
that's what I'm talking about.
You know, you gotta do a little research. If you're gonna go that route,
which you're not advising.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm not advising, but I'm going to do more research because I want to know. I want
to
know.
You want to know how to catch the people, right?
No, I don't want it to buffer anymore.
For this hypothetical fight that somebody might have been watching in the hotel lobby in a different state. I understand all of that. Thank you guys very much.
I watched a fight in the at the Holiday Inn 1 year with all you guys.
Yeah.
But that's, we did that legit.
That was legit. Yeah, that was very, this is a different fight that got buffered for a different reason.
Gotcha. There's a lot of buffering.
Yeah. There's too many people in the hotel, I think, is what happened. Hey,
buffering at the event, too.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Yeah. They just kept deciding to stop punching for a minute. What do you guys got coming up on the program today?
Pure Gold as always, Hagee. Yes. Thanks for asking. 5 hours worth, including Mike Sando at 3:20.
Excellent.
Be a good football guest for you.
I like it. Roll home with the G-Bag Nation. We have been the KNC Masterpiece. Make your way back with us tomorrow, 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Say the F word, Kevin.
Not again.
Well, screw the number right now.